You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast dedicated to all things sci-fi, fantasy, and much, much more. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Earth Station 1 podcast. That's right, folks. We are here to talk all about science.
Science.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
Sorry. My voice is still cutting out a little bit.
Yeah, Mikey's a little under the weather from his weekend jaunt up and staying in a barn. And we'll hear all about that during the con report. So it should be kind of interesting to hear about.
Yes, yes.
But we are here to talk all about science. Dr. Scott and Lucas are back, and they are raring to go talking all about what's been happening in the world of science and where it's going and some of the new discoveries and the new technology breakthroughs and, you know, people claiming that the Earth is flat. We'll talk all about that. So it should be interesting. And of course, I couldn't do the show without the horse master himself, the guy who barely has a voice and is still being a trooper and joining me tonight, Mr. Mike Gordon.
I am indeed horse. That's true. Yeah, that's what you get for sleeping in a barn. Not really sleeping, but staying in a barn for a few days. And yeah, not just there was no room at the inn, right? So I had to stay in the barn.
Oh, you're all going all biblical on us then. Okay.
Well, it is that time of year.
Well, if you believe that kind of stuff, sure. So I do understand that. But of course, before we go too deep down that path, we want to hear from you guys. Please write us at esopodcast@gmail.com or call us, of course, at 404-963-9057. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and, you know, survived Cyber Monday and Giving Thursday, or, oh my God, Wednesday, here comes my credit card bills. You know, it's always a good time of the year. And, you know, we always, you know, love this time of the year because, you know, everyone's always good into giving and being joyful and everything. And we want you to give just a little bit more. What do you mean, Mike? Well, let me tell you. We have a wonderful Amazon.com tab right on the ESO website. So go to ESOpodcast.com. Right at the top, there is an Amazon.com link. You can still do all your holiday shopping. And if you have Amazon Prime, you get it usually the, if not the same day, within a day or two. It's pretty darn awesome. And it doesn't cost you anything extra to help support the station. And, you know, with the holidays here, we can use some holiday cheer too, as we like to say. We also have the T Public Shop, and we will, you know, have t-shirts there, and they are running a massive sale right now. How massive, you say? How does $14 a t-shirt sound to get all your favorite ESO swag? I think that's pretty awesome. So, you know, check us out. It's awesome. Same website, esopodcast.com. Go to right next to the amazon.com link. There is a TeePublic link now. And you just click on that. And you can buy as many t-shirts as you want for $14. I think that's pretty awesome. So check it out. We love, you know, how you guys have been helping us. And people have been buying our t-shirts. Thank you so much. I want to see pictures of you guys with your t-shirts on. Please send it to us. You know, you got the email address already. We would love to see you guys wearing the t-shirts. We'll post it up on our Facebook group and, you know, say, hey, look, people are actually buying these things. And I know my mom bought at least two or three of them. So it's good. And mom, I don't need a picture of you with the t-shirt on. It's okay.
A lot of fun though.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. You know, let's have fun with these t-shirt designs. Definitely want to do it. And if you are buying things from the Amazon, take a picture of yourself with whatever you bought. We'd love to see that too. All right, it's time for rants and raves. Let's see what's on our minds this week. Mr. Mike, did you see the Justice League on TV?
I know, right? It was an epic DCU event, that's for sure. Yeah, that was it was incredible, actually. For those of you who are not tuned in to what's going on in the CW, last weekend they had their second annual crossover between all the CW shows. That is Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. And this year, man, they really doubled down and just made it a two-night event, 2 hours each night. So it's a four-hour event. Take out commercials, it ends up being like an hour and 15 minutes, I think.
I thought it was only 20. It's okay.
I know, right? But Mike, I don't know about you, but it was incredible. I thought it was fantastic. It was the culmination of everything that Berlanti and them have been doing with the DC shows, the DC universe. So many heroes, the best bad guys. It just was a great story and a lot happened. I think you could also call it, you could subtitle, it was called Crisis on Earth X, but it could have been called Three Weddings and a Funeral.
Ooh, yeah, kind of, sort of. I could definitely see that. And it was moving. It was adventurous. They tried doing something fairly big last year when they did the Dominator story. I don't think they hit it on the head. This year, I think they did. The Crisis on Earth X. And everyone loves seeing Nazis beat up, you know? Especially in this day and age. We all love seeing Nazis beat up.
Absolutely.
So it's just, it was great to see. You had some returns of some characters who we thought were long dead. You got introduced to a couple new characters. And you even got to see a dark side of Supergirl, which is actually pretty awesome.
Yes. Yeah, they, you know, they had the doppelgangers because it took place on a different Earth. So we got to see our some of the actors that are involved in these shows playing different parts, different characters, if you will. And in, you know, with all the heroes and characters from all four shows being used, they still managed to slip in some new ones that we hadn't seen before. I mean, the debut of the Ray was,
I loved it.
I know, it was amazing. I was like, I marked out. It doesn't get old for me. You know, they keep taking these characters from DC history and putting live action versions of them and doing them justice. And I'm excited. It's just really awesome. I never thought I would see the Ray on TV.
No, and they did it perfectly. His effects and everything.
Yes.
It was just, it was great. And they got the costume right. They got it awesome. And I think he's going to be a great addition to Legends of Tomorrow. I think he is. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I don't know if he's, I mean, we don't know what he's going to be. I see. Gotcha.
Spoilers. Okay.
Well, in any case, I think he was great. It was a great introduction to him. It was a great use of some of the other characters. We've got villains and heroes that were popped in there.
You even got villains who were heroes.
Yeah, right. Red Tornado. Who would have thought?
Well, that, but also Citizen Cold.
Yes, and that was the flip side. Yes, that was a villain who was a hero. You're right. Red Tornado is a comic hero who was a villain in this, but they did a good job. The special effects were great. I think they must have been working on them like since like 2014. Because they just look so good. You know, especially the effects with Ray Palmer and the Atom. There's a couple sequences where he is in action that is way better than anything they've ever done on Legends of Tomorrow. There's a shot of Mr. Terrific tossing one of his T-spheres and the Atom being on it. And it just, oh man, it's just great fun. You know, I had some nitpicks with it, sure. But overall it was an outstanding two-night event, and exactly. they got their work cut out for them, because next year I expect this to happen again. And, you know, I dare say I expect them to be better, but you know, it was pretty fun this time around.
Oh, very much so. It was a lot of fun, and I didn't feel slighted with any of the characters, like, oh, they didn't give so-and-so enough time. I thought they touched on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And like I said at the beginning, I thought it was almost a better Justice League story than the actual movie.
Well, look, I mean, the movie has the three big guns in it. So I'm not going to like compare and contrast, because that's not my thing. You know, because I marked out during the Justice League movie as well. So
did I.
This is, but you know, this was really good. I will say that the Crisis on, look, Crisis on Earth X, I'm glad they did it the way they did it so that it didn't feel like four separate shows. It really felt like a big, like, event that was in four parts over a 2-night period. If they're smart, they'll put this out on Blu-ray and I will snatch it right up and I will watch it.
I will watch it.
Yeah, I will. Because it was so good.
All right. The one, I will say one complaint. There was one character I really wanted to see in it who was not in. Especially since in the DCU now, they've established there is a Superman on Kara's Earth.
Yes.
And it would have been great to see Superman.
Yeah, but then again, it's sort of like how they got Wally out of the way in the first episode. They didn't want to have too many of the same. Like, if you have two super people against one, then it seems unfair. If you'd had Wally and Barry versus Reverse Flash, it would have been unfair. So they had to keep the numbers down. They did mention Clark, so that was cool. Like, she did say, you know, when she was under the knife, she did say, like, my cousin is gonna come back and end you, really, you know, like so at least he wasn't forgotten.
No, if they would have not mentioned him, then I would have been like, all right, dudes, that's a little crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there should be some great, you know, hopefully they'll have some great ideas. I mean, this obviously was inspired by the Bronze Age of team ups of the past in DC history. And it felt just like one of those. I mean, I don't know, Mike, if you felt the same vibe, but the promo comic cover that they had with all the team members on the side, like, that's exactly what this felt like.
Well, it was right out of Justice League comics from, say, the mid-1980s.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Hell, Crisis on Earth X was a Justice League of America story from 1972 or 73. And, you know, that reintroduced the Freedom Fighters. And the Ray was a member of that.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so, you know, they were 1940s characters who hadn't been seen since, you know, Charlton, I think, was the publisher of them at the time. And DC had acquired the rights to them. Or I think, was it Fawcett or Charlton? I don't remember. It's one of those two. But it was just, you hadn't seen these characters and DC got the rights. And so they brought them back. And, you know, the only one I was really hoping for was Uncle Sam. But... That would have tied in really well, especially with the Nazi storyline.
I was just happy with what we got. Oh, I was surprised that we got, good too. You know, we got a cameo from the Greatest American Hero. That was pretty awesome.
Yes. Who could it be?
Believe it or not.
Exactly. And so I had a great time with it. And, you know, I was bitching about Flash last season and, you know, a little bit of the whole Savitar thing. It was just like, but I'm really impressed with where the stories are going this year, especially with Supergirl doing the Legion. So I just think it's going to be pretty awesome to see what happens.
Yeah. They follow up the crossover with this week. They're all doing their mid-season finale. So expect them to be really intense and full of all cliffhangers. In fact, the Supergirl one that's airing as we are talking is pretty brutal. So I think all four shows are great fun. I know that there's, you know, there's nitpicks I could make. I know some people have been dropping out of this, that, and the other and have all their views. And I respect that, you know, everybody has to watch and do what makes them happy. But I am oh so happy with what Berlanti and company have done with these shows and the fact that it culminated in this big event. It just made my dreams come true. I mean, watching this as a kid, if I was, you know, in, you know, 10, 12, 11 or whatever, and I'd watched this, I just would have been, if I felt like a kid again, watching this. Because
Mike,
it brought back
Mike, it's okay to admit that we mentally are that age. It's okay.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I haven't progressed much since 13.
Oh, look at our sense of humor on the podcast.
Exactly.
You could definitely tell the truth on that one. That is awesome. Yeah, we definitely thumbs up on this crossover. And we also have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back. Did you happen to catch the premiere yet?
I did watch that. Boy, they are really mixing things up this season.
Oh, yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in space.
In space.
So I don't know if they're doing that in to tie into something maybe with Avengers Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think they're doing this so they don't tie in.
Okay. Well, they have Kree and stuff in it, so.
That's not going to mean anything.
I'm trying here, folks. Come on, milking
it. Don't put expectations. Just enjoy it.
I am enjoying it. I loved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the whole end of last season. The whole virtual reality and Madame Hydra stuff.
I wasn't that was keen awesome. On the virtual reality. I thought that went on a little too long. But I enjoy the show for what it is. I really was a big fan of the use of Ghost Rider last season. So that was pretty awesome. So we'll see how, you know, I'm interested in what we've seen so far from this season. So we'll just see where it goes.
Oh, it also helps that I had a thing for Ava, so it's okay. But, and I got to meet her and talk to her and interview her. It was so awesome.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. And that you could hear that back on our Dragon Con episode because we did it as an extra. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment with the Geek Seat.
Hi, this is Ashley Pauls with this week's Box Office Buzz. As we count down to the release of Star Wars The Last Jedi, only about one more week to go, woohoo, there's not a lot of big releases coming out in theaters this weekend. But there are a couple new movies, so let's go ahead and check those out. We have Just Getting Started, which stars Morgan Freeman and Tommy Lee Jones in this action comedy about an ex-FBI agent and an ex-mob lawyer who end up having to team up despite their past rivalry. I kind of feel like we've already seen movies like this one before, so I'm guessing it's probably going to come and go kind of quietly, especially due to the certain little science fiction film we have coming out next week. But this one might do better on DVD. We also have a true story called I, Tonya, which stars Margot Robbie and Sebastian Stan. And it's about figure skater Tonya Harding, whose reputation was ruined by her involvement with an attack on her figure skating competitor, Nancy Kerrigan. This one looks pretty interesting to me, actually, based on the fact that it follows a true story and covers one of the more famous sports scandals of all time. Finally, we have November Criminals, which stars Ansel Elgort as a high schooler named Addison, whose friend is murdered. Although this murder is allegedly passed off as gang activity, Addison thinks there's more going on behind the scenes and ends up uncovering a deeper mystery. On DVD this week, we have Despicable Me 3, which I figure if you've been following the franchise, you already pretty much kind of know what you're going to expect with this one. And if you haven't bought into the franchise yet, this one's probably not going to bring you in either. And then we also have American Assassin, which is a thriller about a man who loses his fiance in a terrorist attack and decides to seek revenge. And that's it for this week. If you're looking for more entertainment content, be sure to check out my blog, boxofficebuzzab.wordpress.com.
Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted, including those of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast? I need my weekly dose of sci-fi news with movie and TV reviews and commentary.
We intercepted no transmissions! This is a consular ship!
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Sorry, I was indisposed.
I will give it a moment to air out, if you know what I mean.
Who needs the ambassador? I thought I heard someone call out for me. What in the bloody hell did you do to Ramus? Speak up.
I
Which one of those chess buttons calls your supervisor, you imbecile?
Geez, mister. Honestly, he was, like that when we got here. Right, fellas?
Mister, I am an ambassador.
Let me see your identification.
Shut it, Bob. You are as clumsy as you are stupid. He doesn't have to show you your ID.
We don't need to see his identification.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Libsyn.com, and Stitcher Radio. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. We are now here with friend of the show, Daryl Smith. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Yes, welcome to the station. It's good to have you. I know that I've had the honor of joining you on the Story Geeks, UNJ, a few times. So it's nice to have you on this show.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So so for those people who may not be familiar with Reclamation Society, Story Geeks podcast, what you guys are doing over there, tell us a little bit about what it's all about.
Sure. And I apologize for my voice, by the way. I'm recovering for something here. But yeah, the Reclamation Society is a nonprofit that really exists to just pursue truth in geek culture storytelling. So they make films, comic books, short stories. There's an audio drama coming up. And specifically, they did a Star Wars fan film called Star Wars Rivals, which you can go find on YouTube. And then another wing of that is the Story Geeks podcast, where we basically look at what everybody else's stories out there are telling us is true in society and spirituality and culture, and just kind of try and dig deep into the stuff that we're watching.
And dig deep you do, man. As I've mentioned to Jay several times, both on shows that I've been on and stuff, and ones that I've listened to you guys talk about, you guys go really, really deep and ask questions that, so certainly of things of that I even haven't thought of when I was on the Star Wars episode. I mean, we're talking like what, 40 years, and I had never thought of some of that stuff. So
we try. And Jay and I go back a long ways. We used to work together. And so he and I have been talking about this stuff for fun for years. So now it's fun to just start recording it and bring other people into the conversation.
So how long would you say you have been interested in sort of geeky things? Did it start at a young age? Were you hooked? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being a little kid, and my favorite stuff was, you know, the Super Friends and G.I. Joe and stuff like that. And then in elementary school, I discovered my first like legit look at a comic book, which was, it was either the new Teen Titans or Crisis on Infinite Earths. So Marv Wolfman, either way. But I was just blown away by the depth of storytelling that there was in superheroes, because I'd only seen cartoons up to that point. And so now I see that these characters are growing up, and Robin is becoming Nightwing, and people are dying, and there's all these other, this huge world. And man, I was just hooked from the get-go. So
I remember those times. That was an exciting time to be into comics, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And so did you find yourself, because I know from some of the shows that you've been on that I listened to, that you seem to lean more towards the DC side.
Yeah, I spent probably most of my time reading DC. Later on, I did start getting into some other stuff. I got into the X-Men in the 90s.
Sure.
So the whole, like, you know, when Jim Lee came in and Chris Claremont, X-Men Gold and Blue and stuff like that. And kind of when Gambit was coming into the picture. And then only, gosh, maybe 15 years ago did I start reading anything like Avengers or Iron Man or stuff like that. So I wouldn't say that the Marvel Cinematic Universe was my first introduction to those characters, but it certainly took me deeper than I'd gone in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Outside of DC Comics, where would you say some of your like passionate geekdom lies?
Well, my other huge one is music.
Okay, cool.
I'm a musician, and I'm a worship leader at my church. And so music and songwriting is a big deal for me. I recorded an album several years ago. I wouldn't say it's all that great, but I loved the process. And so music is a huge, huge deal for me. That's definitely my other geekism.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, very cool. And now, since you guys do really get involved, especially really in depth in terms of story structure, themes, characters, have you studied it formally at all?
No, not really. I mean, I did in college. I was a radio, television, and film.
Okay.
Emphasis of a communications major.
Right.
So I think I did take a screenwriting class as part of that. But honestly, I don't remember a whole lot. The biggest thing I learned about making movies is that I didn't want to make movies. it kind of took the love of it away. You know, like I didn't want to be behind the scenes anymore. So
nobody should want to work at their favorite restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the degree was helpful and got me a job. But yeah, I mean, beyond that, no formal training, just lots of reading, lots of watching movies, and lots of sort of dreaming up my own stories, you know, kind of when I'm walking around or have free time or whatever. So nothing formal, certainly not as much as Jay.
Since you are a big DC guy, I have to ask, what are your feelings towards the state of the current DCU, both cinematic and even Mike and I were talking about just a little while ago, we were talking about the big crossover that happened on the CW shows. Are you enjoying all of that?
Yeah, you know, the CW stuff, the crossover was fun. I think most of those shows this year are not quite as good as they have been. I've had fun seeing Deathstroke on Arrow again. But I don't know. The Flash was just, I thought The Flash was the greatest show on television for the first couple of years, and the last couple haven't been quite as good. But I still watch all that stuff and enjoy seeing those characters in action. As far as the movies go, I will say that I really enjoyed Justice League. I do see that it's a mess in a lot of ways.
Sure.
And there's just a big old unfortunate story behind the scenes and stuff like that. But I'm hopeful. I mean, Wonder Woman is one of my top three, is my number three favorite comic book movie of all time. And I love Batman vs. Superman. I love Man of Steel. I even enjoy Suicide Squad. I wouldn't say it's good, but I enjoy it. So as long as we can get past this whole Justice League sort of studio Snyder versus Whedon debacle, I'm still really hopeful about where we're headed.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that we turned a corner. And that the ship has been righted, but obviously, you know, next year and the future, we'll see where we are. But I think when we talked about it on our show, I definitely thought that at least all the characters that they brought up in Justice League were strong enough that I was curious to see them in their own movies.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what the plan is now. So I'm on board until they, you know, until they wreck the ship.
Yeah. And I think if Warner Brothers can just sort of stop being reactionary, you know, and stop trying to catch up to Marvel. And if we can get away from this whole DC versus Marvel idea, because it doesn't have to be that way. Like we can have both, you know. Kevin Feige and Jeff Johns are very good friends. So why can't we all be very good friends, you know?
Yeah. Well, they might be very good friends, but I'm sure they're pretty competitive too.
Yeah.
As we like to say, why can't we just all get along?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, on that note, since we're all feeling like, you know, kumbaya moment, I guess it's time to strap you down. So, Mike?
Derail all the happiness, huh?
Yeah, well, you know.
we were playing dead, you know, we were just fooling around, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
You know, we just basically have, you know, lull you into a trance and then Mike slowly ties you down. And then by the time you realize what's going on, you're stuck in the geek seat.
I know. You guys are very clever. Which one of you is the bad cop? I just want to know that now.
We're both the bad cop, dude.
Oh, exactly. No. Okay.
There is no good cop here.
All right, fair enough.
Exactly. When they sing that song, Bad Boys, Bad Boys, you know, that was about us. It's cool. All right, sir. Daryl, you ready for your first question in the geek seat?
Bring it.
What was your favorite geek out moment?
I would have to say seeing The Dark Knight for the first time. I had been waiting a long, long time for a great Batman movie, and Batman Begins was a great Batman movie, but The Dark Knight had the Joker in it. And at that point, I had already become probably one of the world's biggest Christopher Nolan fans, and still am to this day. And so for my comic book geekdom in Batman and my movie geekdom in Chris Nolan to come together again and to have a Joker on screen, I was hooked. And even from that first scene in the bank, when the Joker takes off his clown mask for the first time and says "stranger," I was just like, I'm so happy.
I could totally see that one. What was your most disappointing geek out moment, though?
Probably seeing Green Lantern. yeah. And I'm guessing you guys have heard that answer before, but
yeah, not the first time.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, yes, it's a terrible movie, and it wasn't just that it was a terrible movie, but I was so excited to be getting a DC Heroes movie that wasn't about Superman or Batman, that, you know, it looked like we were really going to progress and start making movies about other characters. And it was so hopeful. And then I saw the trailer and I was kind of like, oh, well, okay, I'm still going to be hopeful. I like to be optimistic. And then I saw the movie and I'm like, no, there's nothing good here. This is just frustrating.
That is totally understandable on that one.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. Oh, man. I think we need to get on to the next question. What geeks you out the most?
Gosh, that's such a hard question because there's so many things. I would probably say a representation of a comic book character in a movie that really strikes me as, I'm trying to find the right words for this, something that really strikes me as a version of that character that I was really hoping to see. Like, I try to be open-minded. I don't want to be like a super critical fan. You know, I'm just happy that we're getting movies with these characters, and they're not all going to be winners, and that's okay. But every now and then something just strikes a chord within me that comes from the comics. And I feel like I got that a little bit in Batman versus Superman. Like, Ben Affleck's Batman really did hit a few notes for me that I was like, oh, yes, that's the Batman that's in my heart, you know? And when that happens, I love it. It doesn't happen often, but when it happens, I love it.
I'm almost afraid to ask you what turns your geek off.
Man, when I was thinking about this question, I went through several different answers, but what I landed on is storytelling that basically just exists to have darkness or violence or shock value or to tear something down. I think part of the reason I love being part of the Reclamation Society and the Story Geeks is because of this whole idea of looking for truth in storytelling. And for me, I find truth in storytelling that has themes of hope and redemption and like a search for identity or legacy, and just these ideas of characters really searching for something good and some way to kind of grow and, you know, for goodness to come about. And so when there's these stories that don't seek that at all, and it's just about violence or darkness or jokes. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy violence, you know, I'm a geek, but if it's just for that and there's no other end game to it, I kind of tend to not enjoy that.
Nope. Totally could see that. What fictional character would you like to meet the most?
Man, I would have to go with Nightwing, Dick Grayson. So all of my friends who know that I'm a geek but aren't necessarily geeks themselves, they all think that Batman is the end all be all for me. And that's not actually true. My favorite character is Nightwing because of finding the new Teen Titans, you know, when Marv Wolfman was doing his run, and just this whole idea that Robin got to grow up and become his own man and learn from Batman in good ways and bad ways, and emulate him, but also kind of have him as a cautionary tale. And he just seems like this kind of character who has all of Batman's good qualities, but has managed to sidestep most of the dark ones, and just seems like he'd be a cool dude to hang out with, you know? And I could get Batman stories from him without actually having to get too close to Batman.
That I understand. Have you seen the pictures of the new Robin for Titans?
Yes. Yeah, I have. And I think it looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And I could actually even see it evolving into Nightwing.
Yeah, and I think that's the idea. I've read a little bit about it, and I think that's the storyline they want to go with. And so I'm super excited about that. I've been waiting forever for a great live-action Dick Grayson, and I don't think it's happened yet. So I hope it's great.
I hope so, too. Should be very interesting. What fictional character would you not like to meet?
You know, I got a little help from my wife on this one, because I was originally thinking maybe like a Darkseid or the Joker. But she reminded me of what I think might be the best answer for me to this question, which is Negan.
Oh.
From The Walking Dead.
Yeah, right? I could see that.
Because not only is he evil, he just seems to enjoy it so much. And I'm just like, I don't feel like that dude ever meets anybody that he doesn't just want to brutally kill. He just waits a little longer for some, you know? But so, plus he took out Glenn, who was my favorite. So I hate him for that.
Spoilers if you haven't seen that yet.
Or read it.
Yeah.
It's out there. Yeah.
It's only been around for what, 6 years now?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So yeah, it's totally understandable what you say with Negan. And he's such calm and cool, and he thinks he's doing the right thing. And he thinks it's okay talking to his bat, Lucille.
Yeah, and I hear Jeffrey Dean Morgan talk about playing him, and he talks about him like he's playing the hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan seems a little bit, you know, a little odd himself. So I'm like, does he really believe that, or is he just trying to convince himself of that so he can play the character better? I don't really know.
That's the question. But he also did play the comedian. So
that's true. Yeah. And there's a few others. Mm-hmm. And hopefully maybe we'll get to see him play Batman as Thomas Wayne in the future.
There's some rumors that he might be in Flashpoint.
Yeah. I know. I'm hoping.
Damn it, Barry. You did it again.
But hey, that might be their way to get out of having Ben Affleck as Batman too, right? Like a smooth way to recast that, because you know they're going to have to.
They might have him as Affleck at the beginning of the movie, but by the end of the movie, hey, look, it's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Good old so-and-so as Batman.
Yeah.
What is your favorite geek word, phrase, or quote, or pose?
I'm going with legacy. So if you ever listen to the Story Geeks podcasts, I talk about legacy all the time. It's one of my favorite themes in geek storytelling, partially probably because I really discovered comics through Dick Grayson, who was a legacy character. But I also grew up reading comics after Barry Allen had died. And so Wally West was my Flash for much of my life. And he was a legacy character. And then those just tend to be my favorite kinds of characters, like the Winter Soldier and, you know, so on and so forth. I just love the idea of the character living beyond the person behind the mask, maybe. I don't know. And just the idea of passing something on to the next generation. And I used to think of it in terms a lot of.
So you're a fan of Kyle Rayner then. Okay, got it.
Yes. I was actually. He was sort of the, I mean, Hal Jordan was still around when I was reading, but I did like Kyle Rayner, especially during was it Grant Morrison's run on the Justice League?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
When he and Wally had a had that connection.
Yeah, and they sort of had the Hal and Barry relationship and stuff like that. And yeah, so yeah. I loved that. I thought it was great. And I'm glad he's still around. I'm actually reading right now, I'm reading Tom King's run on the Omega Men, which features Kyle Rayner. It's a very different take on him, but I'm really enjoying that too. So, but yeah, just that whole idea of legacy means a lot to me. And even more so now that I'm a dad and I'm thinking about what my legacy for my boys is going to be. And so anytime there's legacy characters involved, I'm interested.
No, totally understand that. What geek occupation would you like to do the most?
You know, I think I would love to work on like an ongoing book about the Bat family, you know, so Batman and all four, well, let's say three Robins. I'm not really a big Jason Todd fan, kind of think he should have stayed dead, but, you know, Tim and Dick and Damian and Barbara Gordon and just that whole world of characters. I love Batman the most when he is sort of balancing out his darkness with the hope of having these other people around him. And, you know, I'm not a trained writer or anything like that, so I'd probably need some help, but I would love to be able to work on a book like that and sort of dream up stories for those characters.
No, I'm totally understandable.
Yeah, growing up, I can remember one of my favorite books was Batman Family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was always neat to see all in the same story, all the different Bat characters. Even Ace the Bat Hound. It was awesome.
Even Ace.
Yeah, totally. So. And, or Batmite every now and then. the weird ones. And I mean, it's really good even now, too. Like Detective has Tim Drake, Batwoman and stuff in it. And I just love it when all those characters get together.
Nope. I completely agree with that. What geek occupation would you not like to do?
You know, I think as much as I love comic art, I don't think I could handle being a comic artist. I think my attention span is just not good enough. it baffles me how many panels and how many different poses and faces and things like that they have to draw and remember and keep consistent. And man, I just don't think I could do it. I think I'd lose my mind.
Nope. I could totally understand that. You're not the first person actually to say that, but I do agree with you completely.
Yeah. And I love it so much. I wish I had the ability to do an inkling of anything those guys do, but yeah, I don't think I have it.
All right, Daryl, you ready for your final question in the geek seat?
I think so.
All right, here it comes. What is your ultimate geek fantasy?
You know, I'm going to go back to Marv Wolfman and the New Teen Titans, and I'm going to say to see a really, really great movie or TV show based on those characters. I know we're getting a Titans show coming out, so that's probably the closest we will have ever gotten. And there's been some decent animated stuff, but man, a really good live action movie based on Dick Grayson, Wally West, you know, Cyborg, Starfire, Donna Troy, Roy Harper, all those characters, and something with Marv Wolfman involved so that his flavor is on it. But I would lose my mind at the chance to see a movie like that.
Oh, sure. Especially if they do like something like the Trigon series or something like that.
Oh yeah. Or Deathstroke, the Judas Contract.
Yep.
Or
that would be pretty
good. Yeah, the animated Judas Contract wasn't bad.
But
for those of us who grew up with the Wolfman Perez run, yeah, I mean I can't imagine the joy I would have if somebody was able to capture that. Even half as much as I enjoyed that run.
Mm-hmm. I know, totally. And I mean, I'll throw another spoiler alert here, but I think Deathstroke looks pretty great from the Justice League movie. So, you know, we have some into that, we could work it in. But yeah, I would just love to see that. Like those those panels, those George Perez panels of like the Titans, you know, shouting Titans together and jumping out and fighting everybody and stuff like that. Like that stuff is just ingrained in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it so much.
No, I totally understand that. That is awesome. Well, Daryl, you've officially made it through the geek seat. Congratulations. All right.
I lived.
Mr. Mike Gordon, tell the young man what he's won.
You have won a lifetime subscription to the ESO Network, a value easily worth $16.48.
Hey, we went down from last week.
I did it. Oh, it's gone down?
Yeah, it's gone down. I think. I don't know. It goes up and down. And this time of year, the market is so crazy, especially for podcasts. Same,
right?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, you know, we feel in value just a little bit more having you on the show.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Well, it's been our pleasure, actually. And for those people who want to find out more about what you guys are doing, where can they find you online?
Yeah, you can go to the reclamationsociety.org. Actually, it's just reclamationsociety.org. And you can find the Story Geeks on iTunes and Podbean. There's the Story Geeks group on Facebook where we talk more about the podcasts that we've done. And yeah, I mean, just look for Reclamation Society or the Story Geeks and you'll find us. We're out there.
And what's really awesome about you guys' podcast, too, is that it has a timeless quality about it because it, yeah, I mean, you guys are talking about a lot of the movies that come out this year, but you're also going in depth about movies that are, you know, that have been around for a while. So, like, you know, anybody can pick up and listen to all of your in-depth reviews of all the Star Wars movies. It's pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff that's come before that we love. And in fact, this Friday, we're going to be talking about Back to the Future. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Very nice.
Great, yeah, Scott, Marty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we love what you guys do and hope to have you guys back on the show at some point.
We'd love that.
Or maybe they'll be on sometime in the future. Bum, bum, bum. Well, Daryl, thanks so much. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment with science.
Science.
Much better. Thank you.
It's a fake. It's a hoax. It's a nowhere road where no one goes anywhere, anyhow, where you're following your heart rate down.
And now, welcome back. It's all time to talk about science.
Science!
There you go. There you go. I'm so used to saying that second. Like, I just, you know, it's weird for me to say it first and initiate it. But look, we've been loving doing – is this the first – yeah, I think this is the first year we've devoted so many episodes to this, but it's great. And as always, we've got two representatives from Dr. Geek's Think Tank with us, including – Dr. Geek himself, Scott McGay. Welcome back to the station, sir.
Hello, everyone.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, man.
I'm ready to talk some science.
Science!
Of course. And of course, dare I say, your trusty lab assistant, Lucas Garrett, is back with us.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
We are great. And we want to talk, and look, we usually fill to the brim with news and information and discussion topics on this. So I want to get right to it, but I want to throw you guys a curve. So I know this is all about science.
Science!
I want to hear something about weird science. I want something like, what have you guys got for me that, let's start off with something that's just one of those science things you guys have read in the news or you have in your notes that's just plain weird.
I got one right off from the start.
Oh, right. Of course you would, Mike.
Of course. The guy who is building his own rocket So he can fly himself into the lower atmosphere to
prove. Is this the guy, the flat earther?
Yes. Yes. I've been dying to talk to you guys about this.
We have never discussed the flat earthers on this podcast before.
You see, guys, y'all should have told me this or I would have gotten my popcorn and Coca-Cola. I got to hear this. I got to hear this. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
There's this guy who is, he's a stunt man and he is a flat earther. And he basically wants to once and for all prove that the earth is flat. He built himself a rocket and he has experience building rockets and such. And so that's not a joke. That part isn't. He literally has built himself a rocket that is going to, he's going to be in it and he's going to go up into the lower stratosphere and he is going to see, hoping to see a flat earth instead of a rounded earth. And he, you know, he's saying, you know, he's one of those people who's saying NASA has been pulling a fast one. Scientists have been pulling a fast one for years on people. And it just amazes me in this day and age of high technology that there are still people out there who are flat earthers.
What do you guys think about, and we'll start with you, Scott, what do you think about this movement that's happened in the last, let's say 5 years, right? Where this seems to have, you know, something that, you know, people can laugh about, it seems like, but yet this really has gotten itself like some growth to it, this movement.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I don't know how sincere their belief is in the topic or if it's just trying to gather some sort of notoriety. They're 6 seconds of fame, that kind of a thing. You know, and if it is a sincere belief, then at that point, then it's probably more of a wanting to feel like they know something that you don't know. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of wants to feel like they're in the know, and it's that sort of, oh, science doesn't know everything, so therefore it must be wrong. You know, my attitude is, yeah, we don't know everything. There's so much more to learn, you know, but that's my take on it. I haven't read up on the Flat Earth Society or what their modern beliefs are, but, you know, the thing that's interesting about it is that someone who is capable of building a rocket must be aware that it's an ultra hazardous activity. I know the lawyer in me is starting to talk.
Yeah, right.
And so the odds of him being stopped by some government agency that says, look, you can't launch that in your backyard. I don't care what that movie said about, you know, some guy that wanted to, you know, build a rocket in his, you know, in the back of his farm and launch. You can't do that. There's only certain places where you can. And if you wanted to prove that, you know, Google Earth was wrong, there's many other ways to have done it to where you could do your own experiment. You can actually get time and launch a little miniature satellite and take a picture from orbit. You can do that. Mm-hmm. There are organizations where you can participate in that. And if he was really that sincere, then that's what I would suggest to do. I mean, go ahead and have your hypothesis, but be prepared for it to be proven wrong. And I think that's the other thing, too, is that in the back of their mind, they probably know that they're not right. And therefore, it's actually beneficial for them to be stopped, because now the narrative isn't, oh, look, yes, I was disproven. And the narrative is now, oh, the man has stopped me. Oh, they don't want the truth out. Right. So I think that's kind of what's going on.
You hit the nail on the head, Scott. You hit everything you just said is exactly what I said. This guy's looking to actually put his name out there. And the thing is this, if you were really that interested, like you would say, put a satellite out, put a drone out.
Yes.
If you're going to do that. Send it up there, go ahead and map the area, and guess what you're going to find, my friend. But that's that would be too easy. That would be too right to do. Instead of just, oh, I'm going to build a rocket in my backyard and fly it out, you know, like the astronaut farmer. You know, this is not, you know, Billy Bob Thornton, man. This is the real world. And the real world is that you think that you know, but you really don't. But the important thing about science is this, that it's all about not be able to know, exactly. Meaning this, mm-hmm. every time something new comes in, it's like an amendment. You all the time, you keep amending that law of science. And so guess what? Fine, you're saying that it is flat. But guess what? Did you go about the right way, man? Did you do it? Because if you didn't, then one, you're not only going to build something that could be hazardous to you, but you're also going to have others who are going to try to do the same thing. And they're not going to have the type of skills and know-how that you have. And that's, that's the issue.
You know, organizations like the Google Lunar X Prize and the like, you know, their whole raison d'etre is to get regular individuals excited about the space program again and to get out there in the universe. And and if they wanted to, he could set up a whole team of flat earthers who were going to send something to the lunar surface.
Just
and
to then you, see.
You know, you could do this, you know. So, you know, if he doesn't trust NASA, if he doesn't trust, you know, all these other people that have gone before him and proven it, well, then that okay. So this is the way to do it. It's not to build it, not to do something grandstanding like build a rocket and hop in it like Buck Rogers and launch with it and how are you going to get back exactly?
Right?
You know, it just so
it's a long walk.
Yeah,
across that long walk across that flat Earth.
Right. I don't. You know. See, the same thing, it's the same sort of stuff that happens when people say that they faked the moon landing, right? And they have all that quote-unquote evidence with the lighting and the shadows and stuff like that. And the way I like to think about it is the average person, you know, in order to keep a conspiracy like that alive, there would have to be so many people in on it. Mm-hmm. And you tell me in this day and age, how easy would it be for someone to basically say, hey, but you know what? I can crack this wide open. Give me $10 million. I want my 6 seconds of fame, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, after so long, the odds of it being a conspiracy are just smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Even if you don't even want to try to address all the reasons why there's a reason why the shadows are the way they are and how the cameras are used and all other stuff. Because at that point you're trying to argue their premise, and that's going to lead to failure.
Well, it's also the same people who also want to still believe that the sun rotates around the Earth.
Yeah,
and that's just it's crazy talk, folks.
We all know the universe rotates around Bobby Nash. So I think that's been well established. I think that's been well established. So I don't think – look, we've already spent probably way too much time on this than it deserves. So yes, unless something dramatic happens and, you know, the flat earthers are proven right, it's probably the last time you're going to hear about this topic on this podcast. So but let's go on to some really interesting things that have happened since the last time we talked. Lucas, is there anything that you can think of that right away or right off the bat that – people really need to know about if they haven't heard already?
Well, recently, within the last few days, I found that Voyager 1 started up its rockets again. I mean, it started up
after 35 years.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. Exactly. Which got me thinking that there's something coming up. You know, it don't just, you know, languish and then all of a sudden just start back up. So I'm looking with anticipation to find out what's actually going on with that.
Make contact with the Borg. It's going to come back as V'ger.
And the funny thing is this, is that I was watching on the Science Channel about a week ago about the Cassini rocket and, you know, its construction. And I didn't know how close it was to around the time I was born, you know, that the whole process that happened, that they got Carl Sagan in on it. And pretty much he was like their spokesperson. And then a week later, this happens. And I'm saying, okay. I'm seeing a little bit of serendipity, you know, at play here. So I'm, you know, keeping my eye out on it. Not really a lot much, just a lot of interesting stuff coming from the Tesla people right now, both good, some of it not so good, especially with concerns human relations, but that's not this podcast. But things are shaping up right now. I mean, right now we're literally at the cusp of seeing a lot of big changes coming within the next few years. And it's both exciting, exhilarating, and terrifying all at the same time.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's you know, what is it? Kirk said, risk is our business, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, exactly. And if you think about it, we are on the brink of total, you know, cars driving by themselves, mm-hmm. and becoming mainstream, not just for higher end cars and not in test roads. This is going to start becoming more and more prevalent.
It's amazing that you brought that up, because there's actually several places that are doing it now, right? The past month with Nevada and Florida have both started to make ways for autonomous vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? It's going to become more and more. And it was interesting. We were watching the movie Logan not that long ago, and they have autonomous trucks in that movie. And the trucking industry is horrified of it, that it's going to, that's going to, because that's going to be one of the big commercial tests for it, is trucks that drive by themselves. Cause yep. that's one of the things, cause not a lot of young people are becoming truckers, and they're losing a lot of their drivers, and it's becoming obvious they need a replacement, and autonomous vehicles is one of the ways that they're looking at that.
Mm-hmm. The you know, when there was some news about the very first autonomous car that was in Las Vegas, and they got into an accident, but they made it clear that it wasn't the autonomous vehicle's fault. And part of the problem is that it was interacting with the real world, and how other people who are driving their regular cars interact with autonomous vehicles, and how the protocol works to avoid accidents and so forth. And it's a learning matrix where it will get better over time. And upon review, it did everything that it was supposed to do, but it still didn't avoid the accident, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be perfect. I mean, some people have said that, you know, what we ultimately have to do is have sections that are just for autonomous vehicles, because that way they can use their sensors and know exactly the speed that everything else is going to go. And they would all share a like mind, and therefore – you could avoid all that, and you can go faster, and, you know, commerce with the trucks and so forth and stuff like that. Some of the issues that are being discussed, which are going to be, you know, the legal system is like the last thing to ever update, right? I mean, you know, technology comes, and then the rest of the world has to go, what, well, how do I use this? Mm-hmm. So there's actually people who have written papers about who's at fault when a autonomous vehicle crashes. Is it the passenger who was sitting in the car, you know, watching TV, reclined at a 60-degree angle, you know, taking a snooze during their commute? No, because they weren't in active control of the vehicle. Was it the, you know, the CPU that was somehow the artificial intelligence making a mistake? Well, is it actually the computer programmer who created that matrix? Is it the, you know, the software people, or is it the dealership that sold you the car? They're all, I know this sounds ridiculous, but they're all trying to figure that out, because
absolutely not.
It has to be figured out, because that's how it's going to get integrated with society. And this is great that this came up, because one of the things I saw was the Nissan concept car that they just did have this new autopilot feature. And when it goes into autonomous mode, it retracts the steering wheel and puts it away for more space. And, you know, and I love concept cars, right? Back in the day, there used to be an Epcot pavilion called World of Motion. And the post-show area was all these concept cars. Everything was a big bubble. Looked like it came out of the Jetsons.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, and unfortunately, you would never see any of those cars ever make the light of day, because while that looks great on a factory floor and a video, it's not very practical. You know, the whole two-seater bubble bike car, there's no storage. You know, nobody's going to be able to use that to go to the Publix and get groceries, right? So I'm looking at this concept car, and it's got the, you know, fold-up wing doors like a DeLorean. It's got all these nice little curves, very stylish. It makes something like 300 and something odd miles per charge, which is fantastic. And then it had this autonomous mode where it retracted the steering wheel. Well, that's very Knight Rider. It's very cool. But it's probably going to be the one feature that will never be allowed, because society is not going to be that ready to disengage the human component of a car that quickly. They might allow for a autonomous mode just as much as we allow for cruise control, But I think that there's going to be some requirement that the human operator still is ready to stand by and take over in case, you know, and it might be the situation where the technology is perfectly acceptable. It could totally take care of a journey of 1,000 miles without having any problem. And there's no reason for having a human having to sit there like that with their hands ready to grab the controls. But the law is going to probably require it for much more longer than it will be technically required.
Oh, I agree with that too. It's interesting too, because we test drove a Subaru about a week and a half ago, and the 2018 models actually have that there's parts you don't even have to hold the steering wheel anymore. You have cruise control set, and it has smart cruise control that it'll slow down, speed up when it senses somebody in front of you. It also has lane, you know, sensors. A lot of cars have these now, but you don't have to hold the wheel. That if you point it in the direction, and it will know if it sees that it's getting too close to the white line, it'll straighten itself out.
I love the idea that it can parallel park itself. You know, that's awesome.
Exactly.
I'm a big proponent of the self-driving car. I mean, I feel like, you know, I would be like the Shadow. You know, I would sit in the back seat and I'd just say drive, you know. Florida, there's a couple of places where they're actually trying to do this. One is on the freeway right near where I live. Is sort of a touristy area and all that sort of stuff. And what they want to do is there's all this future development that's coming, a bunch of new resorts and all that stuff. And so what they want to do is have an autonomous shuttle that will go up and down Errol Bronson Highway and be able to get to all the new tourist spots and stuff like that. And it's similar to the shuttle the little car that's being designed for the one in Las Vegas. And then, of course, there's also a new smart community that's in Tampa that is being designed with autonomous vehicles in mind. It's kind of similar to Celebration in the sense that, you know, when Celebration was built, the idea of the information superhighway, highly connected, you know, homes was a big deal. This is taking that to the next level because the autonomous car is the next thing that's going to come.
I think it's only a matter of time till we see more and more. But the only problem, you know, is the human factor. You have, you know, in cities, people walking out in front of regular cars. You know, what's it going to do to our
time? Right.
And, you know, you have the idiots who, you know, who still will hold off from buying an autonomous car and going out there and, you know, driving in between, hey, let's go do this, and, you know, be, you know, jet off with their cars and trying to cut the autonomous cars off and everything and just being idiots, you know?
Yeah, well, that's people being people. All we can do is we can present a better way and that will take care of itself, I think.
It's wild. It's almost like we're exactly back over 100 years ago with the auto buggy.
Yeah.
You know, overtaking the horse and the buggy and all this other stuff. It's almost like we got extra technology, but we're still in the same type of bind.
Yeah.
Is what I'm seeing. And it's almost like, and like you're right, Scott, when you're talking about the laws are so slow to catch up to these advancements, because I hate to say it, but it's going to actually have to be catching up. They're going to have to, you know, keep up, please, you know, because right now, robotics is going to have to factor more into how we now write the laws now than it has ever before.
Yeah, especially when it comes to infrastructure, we're, you know, the modern freeways that we use today were the horse trails of yesteryear, and I think that is because of that evolution, going from walking trails to horse trails to something that was barely paved to being the superhighways now to whatever comes next. Mm-hmm. I think that because of that legacy, you're going to have that sort of missing link period, which is what's going on here. I mean, people need to A, know that it's safe, and then B, they have to see it in practical use. And that's why it's going to be very important that the big breakthrough is going to be when it's not a novelty, when it's not just something that you go at Vegas to go ride on, or an example of it at Disney World. You know, there was nothing wrong with the people mover. The problem was is that nobody wanted to do elevated tracks with a continuously moving subway system. You know, that wasn't, you know, not very practical. But if you build upon the freeways that we have today and build upon the infrastructure of gas stations and make them available to charge electric vehicles or other fueled cars, fuel cells and stuff like that, if you work with the infrastructure that we have, it's not like having to put on a monorail track over all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why it'll be more successful than other things.
Yeah.
I just am sitting here and I can't believe that it's Dr. Scott who's actually referred to Buck Rogers and the Shadow. Usually that's Lucas's like pulp forte.
I'm so proud of him. Scott, keep it coming, man. Keep it coming.
But Lucas, you mentioned robotics. Is there any news coming out about the latest and greatest on that?
Yeah, actually, there's a bunch of stuff, but specifically there is one I'm having to keep my eye on because I was a big Matrix fan back when it came out, and I actually got the Animatrix feature that was a bunch of animated shorts, and they had one called Second Renaissance. Now, there was a city that the robots built that was called 01. Now, why am I saying that now? Saudi Arabia has now granted citizenship to a female android humanoid.
Really?
It's interesting now because I'm almost like seeing fiction once again foretelling a possible future.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Let me understand this. So Saudi Arabia, who has to barely acknowledge their own women as citizens.
Exactly. Keep going. Keep it coming, Mike.
This is crazy to me. So where did this android come from?
Well, she was built, but she had actually had a claim earlier because she was on a few talk shows where they actually, specifically Jimmy Fallon, interviewed her. And some of her questions were, or just answers to questions, was very, very, very telling about, you know, artificial intelligence and where it could possibly go. But for some reason, this same android, whose name for some reason escapes me, I think Scott might know the name, for some reason, Saudi Arabia said, yeah, we're building the city of the future and the world of the future, so we might as well get on board. But you're right. How can you do that, but yet you don't grant your women full citizenship? How is that possible, guys?
Well, it's science inspired by fiction, so there you go. I mean,
exactly.
It is making a statement rather than having to deal with the repercussions of that statement. It's interesting because robotics is definitely, and AI have definitely made a gigantic leap. If you think about it, Boston Dynamics now has robots that can do backflips. I mean, you know, back in the day, getting a robot to be able to walk up a flight of stairs was almost as phenomenal as seeing a Dalek climb a flight of stairs. Mm-hmm. But now we can have them do backflips. I mean, oh my gosh.
Not just that, Scott, but we actually have – there's another competing firm that has actually built an actual Metal Gear Walker. I'm not joking.
Wow.
I am not joking, Scott. I saw this thing. It pretty much – it wasn't as big as the same Walker from – Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Pictures, but it was in the same specs. And I saw this, and I'm saying, here we go, you know.
I have to ask you guys, because, I was recently on a podcast. We were discussing the new Blade Runner movie.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually, we were discussing the classic one, the original one as well. Mm-hmm. And the topic came up, which we spent a good deal of time on, is whether or not we actually thought that replicants, androids, artificial intelligence, et cetera, like life basically created within these mechanical beings, what is actually ever going to be possible. And I must say, throughout our discussion, we all kind of thought, no. That's not going to happen. But what do you guys think?
I'll be honest with you. I think that we're possibly within a generation away from it happening.
Really?
At the scope it right now is going right now. Okay. When you were asking me earlier about what else is going on, the reason why I say that is this. Guys, we might actually have a real life Eureka in our lifetime if Bill Gates is to build his city.
His smart city in
Arizona. So like I said, imagine that man with that type of money and that type of resources with those brains working there. The new Silicon Valley will be now in Arizona. I don't put anything past the possibility that we might actually have synthetic humanoid life or whatever life it might be within a generation's time. My kids and grandkids and my nephews and nieces and their kids will be seeing some interesting things by 2050, 2070. I am not joking.
I think it depends on how you define life.
That too, Scott.
There is definitely a lot of examples to where we can fake it. You know, it depends on what is good enough to qualify because there are already people – there I go, right? There's already Android HR type of robots that sit in department stores in Japan that will guide you to where you need.
Sure.
You know, like an information booth and stuff like that. There are plenty of AIs that can carry on a conversation with you and stuff like that. So really the question becomes, what is their purpose? What is their function? You know, will you end up getting like a Nexus 5 kind of ROI kind of thing where it actually is – introspective and wondering about its origins and stuff like that. I don't know, but I don't think it's impossible. I just think it's a little improbable given what we've currently have. But there, that limitation is in itself artificial.
Well, the problem with that though is, guys, that's what we know of. We don't know what's going on in some of these labs inside.
Exactly. What is DARPA doing? What is the Bell Labs doing? What is what do we know?
I think that it's possible to do something like Joshua in War Games, where it learns from mistakes and whether or not its quirks are considered a personality. That is something that is, you know, people have seen about. I know that there's a couple groups, one dealing with the United Nations, that are actually talking about ethics in regards to AIs and the potential for what happens if we ever cross that border into true artificial life, how we treat them, what's our responsibility to our creations, you know, and stuff like that. And that's very deep philosophy. And
I know a couple of the different companies have had to dumb down their AI because it was getting too smart.
Yeah.
Not just that, but shut them down. Like Google, for instance, said they did an AI that started creating its own language. They had to pull the plug.
You know, there's two things that are happening. It's the development of artificial intelligence. And the question becomes, you know, what is life for that? You know, back when all of our favorite science fiction authors, if you were to ask them what would an artificial life form look like, a lot of them would basically say, well, it would look like, you know, a person, but be artificial. So it would be like, you know, a robot wearing butler's clothes or something like that. But if you ask somebody today, they might say that Jarvis counts. So something like an Alexa or a Siri that lives in your watch is, you know, just as alive as something that we give a physical body to. But it's not necessarily the mechanical framework that's the issue. It's it's that self-awareness. Really, it comes down to the definition of at what point is it life and rather than a program. Mm-hmm. And when is it making choices that you wouldn't expect? Right. Because if it's just responding from a table of pre-programmed responses, that doesn't meet my definition of life. But if it starts making judgment calls and coming up with answers that you never thought of, then that's a step closer. But at some point there probably could be that moment. I don't know, because we don't know how that happened in us.
Well, I think that's my point. Like, my thing was, until we can really understand what makes us alive and what makes us tick, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of mysteries regarding that. that's why I don't really see us being able to replicate it. Ha, see what I did there? in something mechanical. Now, we might be, you know, for all the advancement that we can make, yeah, artificial intelligence is fine, but I don't know if that in and of itself is considered life.
No, I agree. And it's really, it's going to be, you know, like you said, if we come across it, we'll probably fall backwards into it. You know, what's fascinating about consciousness is that we know where in the mind you can turn it off. We can actually put somebody into a coma and actually basically turn their brain off and turn it back on. We don't know how it generates consciousness. We don't know how this, you know, the body is more than the sum of its parts. We don't quite understand that, but we can see the effect of it. So there's definitely so much more to learn.
Yeah,
the question becomes, you know, what's our learning? Is there a point where we will stop being able to learn? I don't know.
Another question is also this, and I just saw this recently, and I actually got kicked myself for this, guys, is I saw Johnny Depp's movie Transcendence. And, you know, it's funny. Every time I watched that, I was saying, I wonder if that might be the future of, like, say, somebody like Tony Stark. To be able to continue. But the question, like you said, is do we even know the full capacity of neural networking, the brain itself, and could somebody be able to download themselves and exist outside the body?
There's developments all the time in AI, but then there's also developments in bionics happening at the same time. And I think there's going to be a point where things intersect, mm-hmm. you know, and the question becomes, how, you know, it's more machine now than man. I mean, you know, at what point does that matter? You know, and this brings me to the one thing that I thought was just really kind of cool was the eSight device.
Yes, thank you. I was going to bring that up. Awesome.
And it was this device that allows the visually challenged and the legally blind. Now, those two words are those phrases are very important.
Yes.
To be able to see. It can't give vision to someone who never had it. Mm-hmm. There's many reasons for that. One is, how would you even interpret what you got? The brain wouldn't be really set up for that because you could present the image. It might work, but the mind itself wouldn't know how to grapple with that image until maybe other issues. But for someone who has a severely restricted vision through glaucoma or other issues, or is technically considered legally blind, this device will allow them to have an autonomous life. And how awesome is that?
I saw that as well. And thank you for mentioning that, because I was kind of leading there, because I think, you know, the one thing about that is intriguing about trying to create, you know, an artificial person is the fact that we can learn more and more about ourselves. And in products like that, of course, making life better for people. I mean, I think that's what, I mean, obviously there's pros and cons to any scientific endeavor, but I was wondering if you guys could talk about some more about some other things that are coming on the pikes and things that are in development, or something that's like really there, that's actually like a benefit, something that everybody's going to benefit from.
Well, I've got one that pops up into my head right away, and that is an injected oxygen particle that will actually allow you to oxygenate the blood, even if your ability to breathe has been terminated.
Wow. You know,
yes. So picture the liquid oxygen from the abyss, but it's an injection. So it's a particle of oxygen wrapped in a fluid that, once injected into your respiratory system, can actually bring the oxygen levels up to nearly normal and for 30 minutes, even if your ability to breathe is completely obstructed. So that's a life-saving procedure right there. There are so many ways that this could be used. And that, you know, it literally blew my mind. Normally I wince at clickbait articles, you know, titles and stuff like that. But this one said, you know, living without having to breathe. And that's really what this could do.
Oh, very much so. It's really interesting because when I heard the story, it kind of reminded me of the movie The Abyss.
Yes.
When they had the oxygenated water.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't need to have, tanks on the back for them to deep dive, they had water that the people could breathe because it had oxygen in it.
Yeah. Imagine that, guys. Imagine a deep sea diver being in a pressurized skin tight suit with that type of, you know, liquid oxygen just with an injection. Don't need the actual, you know, scuba gear, and they can actually be down there for hours working.
Yeah, well, in this case, exploring. 30 minutes. Yeah, 30 minutes at a time per injection. So,
right,
you know.
For now.
Yeah.
I'm saying that, you know, they could actually possibly extend it, you know, because we might actually have the technology within the next, whoever knows. That's what I'm saying, is that they're pushing it now. It's 30 minutes. 30 minutes might turn to 45 minutes in an hour, and then so forth. You know, the possibilities, guys, you won't have to breathe. You won't even have to be worried about drowning. Just do your thing and then come back up, you know, up to do your thing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wild.
It also will help think about all the construction projects that they're working on right now around the world with underwater divers.
That's what I'm talking. Yes, exactly.
And
that's what I'm saying.
Then also then eventually space exploration when they want to, you know, they won't have to worry about having air tanks. They'll just have oxygenated water in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's really, of all the, you know, we get a lot of articles sent to us, to people going, oh, isn't this cool? And oh, what about this one over here? And, you know, and some of it's fun, like the guy who took his minivan and turned it into a shuttle pod, you know, from Star Trek.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, and that's awesome, you know, and stuff like that. But the things that I always take a good hard look at are the bioprinting stories, you know, as we, you know, find ways to provide food and other resources to places that didn't have it, which is wonderful on Earth, but it's also a great resource if you're going to do colonies out in space or space stations, if you can generate that. You know, people want a Star Trek economy. Well, for that, you need unlimited power source with a warp core and the ability to use pattern matter replicators and create whatever you want. You do that, nobody cares whether or not you can afford it because money becomes irrelevant and resources become irrelevant.
They actually talked about that last week on the Orville, of all shows. They were talking about it.
Star Trek?
The real Star Trek, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But they were talking about that. They were saying, you know, what was money? And they said it was something people dwelled for and everything until the replicators came around and anyone could have whatever they wanted. There wasn't no need for people to be rich or, you know, have money and such.
And that's why I think that the people working on alternative fuels and the bioprinting and other replicating technology is very, very important. I mean, nobody really is saying, you know, hey, sign me up. I want to have that 3D printed hamburger because we've all seen Better Off Ted. We all know that probably tastes like despair. It's a very, very, very important technology that would be a game changer if it was developed and actually worked as advertised and stuff like that. So it's when I see things like the oxygenated blood, you're like, oh, wow, that in itself is a little bit of a novelty trick. But look what it can do combined with a bunch of other stuff. Having that available in an EMT's kit could save lives like crazy. You know, it is so cool of a tool. And it's just I don't know. I think that's why, as depressing as the world can be, why I think science provides so much hope, because it says, look, it isn't the world isn't all that crazy. There's all these other things you don't know. Look, spend some time and unravel a mystery to the universe. To kind of bring us back to Voyager 1 real quick, the last thing I had in my notes was the interstellar asteroid.
That's where I was about to bring up, actually.
Yeah. Well, like mines, right? Okay. I apologize. Yes, I was an archaeologist in Hawaii, but pronouncing Hawaiian words is kind of difficult. Let me get some water to clear my throat.
La, 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 la.
All right. So it's the Oumuamua. It's the messenger from afar. This is interstellar asteroid is really, really cool because we always thought that interstellar material would be more like a comet. And this proved that it was much more substantial and acted more like an asteroid. And that just tells you right now, we really don't know what's out there until we find it. Beyond the fact that it looks like something from the Zentradi and Robotech.
Yes. You know? I'm still expecting that, Scott. Any given day, I'm expecting that to break apart and then make orbit, and then it'll find possibly Fiji for all we know.
That's right. I people of Macross Island should move now.
Macross, yeah. Fiji. Macross, yep. Fiji.
Yep. Absolutely. But yeah, it's the fact that discovery, basically it rocked everyone's world without knowing it. You know, most people looked at that one, but of all the news items, that was the one that I went on. Okay, now that's a little bit of the universe winking at us right there. That's pretty cool.
It's like going, hey, there's more stuff out here than you know.
Right. How about that for being complacent?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the great thing. As Neil deGrasse Tyson always says, the great thing with science is there's always something new to learn.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. I don't know if we can go anywhere from there. So it sounds like we've wrapped it up for the year. So anything that you guys real quick are looking forward to in 2018? We'll start with you, Lucas.
Yes, the wrong person, bro. There's too much stuff I'm looking forward to. Entertainment, technology. I'm looking forward to a lot of stuff. I'm looking for pretty much almost like a paradigm shift coming next year for some reason, as far as where, you know, new technologies having to impact new laws that, you know, nobody would ever thought about at the time. I'm looking for entertainment to continue to inspire more scientists, engineers, technicians to actually push for something more. 2018 is pretty much going to be a watershed year. Just like this is kind of like the penultimate year, I have a feeling that 2018 that we're going into is going to be a year that a lot of people are going to remember when they look back.
Hopefully in positive ways. Come on, let's see.
I really have a feeling it's going to be very positive. You know, there's going to be some issues, you know, we're going to all have to deal with. But I have a feeling that overall, when we look back at it, it will be a lot better than what we've had looking behind. You know, I really do. It's funny because I'm usually not that hopeful, but I just have a feeling, you know, I think we're coming into a new age of understanding. And so I'm just wanting to stick around just to see it, you know, see that, see Black Panther, Infinity War, whatever, you know. I'm sorry, guys, I had to plug all that stuff in there.
Sure, absolutely.
But that's pretty much that. But like I said, they've done it. Like I said, a lot of the stuff we're talking about now is almost like we are just doing thought experiments as to what could possibly happen. And as soon as we're done saying it, it's like everything in nature is saying, you guys are talking about that, that's great, but we got something else to get. So I'm expecting within the next 30 minutes to possibly tomorrow to have something to actually report to the Dr. Geeks, you know, think tank, you know, Facebook group, wink, wink, you know, that it'll be there, you know. So I'm just looking forward to a lot of stuff.
Excellent. Excellent. Awesome. Anything you need to add, Scott?
Well, for me, I think I'm looking forward to augmented technology, augmented reality, taking a step away from novelty games to being more of a practical tool. It's starting to kind of gel in that direction, and I would like to see what's going to happen in the next year with that.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for augmenting our reality. And doing this is, I think this, right, isn't this our first year of doing, what, 4 science episodes, 1 each quarter?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yes.
And we're going to continue doing it.
Absolutely we are. So so look for that in 2018 when you guys, well, hopefully you won't be at, like, well, you'll come back before that. But in the meantime, we will take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the ESO Con Report.
Oh, John. Oh, Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad.
Welcome to A Geek Girl's Take. I'm your host, Angela, and this week, this geek girl is talking about the new movie, Thor Ragnarok.
I enjoyed the previous two Thor films. They had action, a good storyline, great acting. But the new Thor film is like if you took the fun of Guardians of the Galaxy and added the cast of Thor and told them to go to town. I really enjoyed this film. It was funny, played along well with the storyline, and it's probably my favorite of the three. You could also tell the actors were really enjoying themselves by their characters and how they came out in the film. I really enjoyed the back and forth between Thor and Loki. I thought these two had a wonderful amount of time on screen together, and the relationship between the two characters, while difficult, still showed that they're brothers and are acting like brothers do. I also enjoyed the many cameos in the film, one of which I know a lot of people were not expecting by the reaction of the audience in the theater. One of the others being the Hulk, which we all knew about because of all the trailers in the film. And then I also really, really enjoyed Jeff Goldblum's character. He was super funny, and all the way to the end was really, really just a ham. I am so excited to see where the next few films take the Marvel movie franchise, especially with the Infinity Wars coming up. And then also the Black Panther. I am super excited about the Black Panther. Thanks for listening to A Geek Girl's Take. What will I talk about next week? Well, you're going to have to listen to find out.
To give to you, here come the plane.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Now it's time for the ESO Con Report.
Well, last weekend was the Catoosa County Film Festival, and, you know, I can honestly say that this is a first. I have never been to a film festival in which no films were shown. I don't know if anybody has seen any of the accounts of this online, but it was pretty much a
remember, we're a family run show, sir.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking cluster.
Yeah. No.
Look, but you know, look, it wasn't well organized. Let's put it that way. When we got there, there was an initial sign that said it was canceled on Friday. And then when we got to the venue, there were signs that said it had moved. So we went about 20 miles south. It was supposed to be at a convention center. It moved to a barn, which sounds really horrible. But actually, the barn venue was really nice. Apparently, this place in just south of Ringgold, Georgia, which is itself just south of Chattanooga, it hosts weddings. The barn area, the venue is so beautiful, actually.
I actually saw the pictures you posted, and the place looked really interesting looking.
It was really nice. And the people there who own this property and who own this barn, who manage it, are really wonderful people, too. So so nothing against those people, nothing against any of the guests. But you could tell by the vibe on Friday afternoon that this was not going to go well. The organizer was not seen very much.
Didn't want to get pelted by tomatoes, I guess.
Yeah, well, he almost,
or if you were pelted in a barn, it was with cow patties or something.
He almost got pelted by quite a few things, actually. I'd heard that Friday night after Peter and I left to go get something to eat and then go back to the hotel, I'd heard that some really bad stuff happened, some intense confrontations were made. And look, he promised some people, I think his eyes were much bigger than his pocketbook or his bank account, and things did not go his way. And he's going to be paying this price for a while. He burned a lot of bridges. I think there are a lot of people that were not happy, but, on Saturday, I can tell you that, while we were just kind of hanging out at the venue, me and some of the other vendors and guests, Just kind of hung out and had a good time. You know, we just made the best of it. Talked to one another. I've met some people that we are going to have on the podcast in the coming weeks. Some great people, some great guests, some artists, some filmmakers. There was a lot of actors there. There was about, I think, 6 or 7 people there that had been on The Walking Dead. And someone made the joke as, you know, the last time this many people from The Walking Dead were in a barn, it didn't go well. And that can be said this way too. So some good music. Ricky and Bambi play it on Friday night, and it's always fun to hear those friends of the station play. And actually, Radio Cult played as well. Pure Ed played, as well as another band called Genki Genki Panic, which I had never heard before, but they're horror surf. They've been around for a while, a few years now, and they play all over the country. They play sort of this instrumental surf music with more of a horror slant. Really good stuff. Really good stuff. So talked to them for a while. We made the best of it. Peter and I had a great time. It was over with by Saturday, 4 o'clock. The owner of the barn establishment came out and basically said, this is done. We're done. So Peter and I packed up our stuff. We drove up to McKay's and spent more money than we made.
That's always the case, though.
I know, right? And then came back Sunday morning. And it was, we made the best of it. Unfortunately, and for those people who were part of the Cochise County Film Festival, I feel for you guys, especially anybody who was promised any sort of payment. Peter and I were up there because Peter had won the contest for doing the poster. And we were happy to be there. But we kind of, you know, early, look, everybody going in knew probably that this was suspect. There were just the signs that were there, for the last month or so. And certainly if they weren't there for the last month or so, they certainly were there on Friday. So, I think, all of us are kind of like, oh, you know, and look, I've been in some other situations with conventions that have been worse than this. So I just take everything and try to make the best of it. And I know a lot of people, like I said, were very angry because they had been promised, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I'm hoping that those people get some sort of settlement, satisfactory. And, you know, seeing some of the guests like Lynn Lowry, Sid Haig, some of the other guests that were there, they were there on Friday. They did not show up again on Saturday. And it's a shame that they had to waste their time. And, you know, it was weird kind of seeing them in this unfortunate circumstance. So not all conventions go as well as we would like. Like I said, we try to make the best of it, but it was just not a very good weekend for a lot of folks, and it was not well organized. So that's really all I have to say about it. I'm not going to sit here and yell and rant and rave about the organizer, because I know that he's feeling pretty stressed out now about the whole weekend. Not from talking to him. I don't know him personally, but I've heard accounts, and I can only imagine that he's burned a lot of bridges, and I doubt anything like this is going to happen again in that area. And that's a shame, too, because, you know, the area, the people there seemed really nice and friendly. It seemed like they were trying to do a good thing, and it just didn't happen. So that is unfortunate, but, you know, I did take a few pictures of some of the things that were there, and including the venue. So feel free to check those out on my Instagram or my Facebook page. So it's not the best way to end 2017 as far as conventions go. So that's why Mike and I are going to the one day show December 17th. That is the Atlanta Comic Convention. And that's a constant standby, right? We know pretty much good. There's not going to be a disaster there. It's just going to be a good day of fun. Folks that we know, a lot of vendors, a lot of good deals. Mike's probably going to pick up a couple pop figures, or at least look at them and see if there's any that he doesn't have, which by now is probably not that many.
There's the far and few in between. It's like, you know, searching for the lost ark or something like that.
Check out the $5 trades, the dollar comics, et cetera, et cetera. Looking, you know, to spend some, if you have any of that Christmas cash that's not yet spent, the Atlanta Comic Convention is a good place to do it. And I think we did get confirmation this weekend that there's not going to be one in February. So, because the Marriott Century Center will be going through some renovations. So this is going to be the last one day show, for a little while, and by Wes and Dave. So, come on out, celebrate, say howdy to us. We will definitely, love to see you. and meet up with you. So if you're going there, let us know. And because we don't have a table there, so Mike and I will just be wandering around. And then most likely I'll probably go and have some pizza at Fellini's. So if you want to go out, hang out and have some pizza, let me know and we can make it happen. That is next coming weekend, December 17th. I know that there's going to be a big movie coming out and a lot of people are going to try to be seeing that, but make some time to go to the Atlanta Comic Convention. We'd love to see you.
Are you talking about the Bull movie that's coming out?
I am. How did you know?
I knew a lot of bull.
That's exactly. A lot of bull. A lot of big, big pile, steaming pile of bull.
Well, hell, the bull is played by John Cena. Cena, so must be.
Of course. Well, very cool. So that's it for 2017. 2018 is right around the corner. Mike and I are arranging our schedules. We are looking around at dates. There's still a lot of possibilities. We love interacting, promoting, helping out, participating in, attending conventions. I'm looking for – could I put more verbs in that sentence? But we are looking to do more of that. So if you've got a convention that you would like us to know about – in fact, I talked to a guy just this past weekend at the Catoosa County Film Festival who's hosting a one-day show that we'll find out a little bit more about next month. It looks like that one's going to be a great time. You might even see us there. But there's going to be a lot of shows that Mike and I are going to do. And we love talking about conventions, even, you know, we're willing to go to the ones, even if they look kind of sketchy, and because sometimes they end up being a lot of fun and you can still have a good time. So, the past is the past, but, in 2018, I'm looking forward to talking about more conventions.
So that's going to wrap up another episode of the Earth Station One podcast. We have done it, folks. Another episode of science.
Science!
Phew. I thought you were going to forget there. It's awesome. It's great to be able to just 4 times a year, we're going to be coming to you with all different talking of science. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello? Science? Hello? I said science.
Science!
Thank you. So... Dr. Geek, Scott, it was awesome to have you on here, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun to be up here. And, you know, talking about science, it's great. This is what gets us to do things, and science inspired by fiction. What better way to do that than on the ESO network?
Exactly, and tie it all together that way.
Yeah.
Very cool. And you want to plug your Dr. Geek podcast?
Oh, sure. The Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom. You can find it on the ESO network and on iTunes and on our website, drgeeklab.com. And we have a Facebook page, Dr. Geek Lab, Twitter at Dr. Geek Lab, and our Facebook group, the Dr. Geek Think Tank.
That sounds awesome, my friend. And of course, Lucas, thank you.
It's always a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Oh, it's always great getting you on the show, and anything you want to plug or shout out about?
No, not at this time, but if anybody needs to reach me, they can reach me at my Facebook group at Lucas Garrett, or reach me at Instagram at LucasGarrett0421.
Fantastic. And it's always, like I said, it's always great talking to you, Lucas, and you know, we'd love to get you on here more than not.
I understand, buddy. And like I said, hopefully coming to the new year, I'll be a lot more available. I hope. I definitely hope, because this last 2 years have been a ringer, but things will get better.
They always do, my friend. They always do.
Yes, they do.
And Mr. Mike.
As always, it's my pleasure.
Anything you're going to shout out about, my friend?
Well, we talked all about the crossover, the Crisis on Earth X at the beginning of the show, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to our sister podcast, Earth Station DCU. They also recorded an episode regarding and reviewing the big crossover as well, along with Drew and Cletus, the hosts of that podcast, myself, the award-winning Bobby Nash, and our own ESO's Ashley were on the show to talk all about it. We went in quite in depth, so I definitely recommend people check that out. And I want to give a really special shout out to those guys because it was their 75th episode.
Wow. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
So Earth Station DCU, I give them a lot of credit for, you know, sticking with it, coming out with a new episode pretty much every week. Drew and Cletus are really, really knocking it out of the park there. So
very good.
That is great. Congratulations. You know, it's always great to see when the podcasts on the network, you know, really surprise me and get further and further along. You know, we've just grown and it's just always great to see. It's almost like me being a proud papa.
Yeah, well, I did, you know, kept him humble because it is going to be, you know, I mean, as we are rapidly now approaching episode 400, they've still got a little ways to go.
Oh, fat. You know, the slackers, they need to get going, you know, come on. Well, think about it, Mikey. We've done this for over 7.5 years. They have a long way to go.
Yes, they certainly do.
Oh, yeah. All right. My shout out this week. I actually took the advice of Mr. Mike Gordon. That's right, folks. You could stop the presses now. I actually.
Oh, now. Hey, I got to like make sure this is recording.
Oh, well, that's why I hit the stop button a long time ago. No, literally, I took Mike Gordon's advice and I went to go see Coco this past weekend. And I loved it. It was amazing to see. The film artistically was beautiful. The story was smart. It was emotional. It had you laughing. It had you crying. It had you, you know, rooting for people you think were the good guys and they turn out to be bad guys and bad guys turning out to be good guys. And you're wondering who's who. And it's just a lot of fun. And truthfully, I think it's one of Pixar's best movies since Up. And wow. for me to say that, you know, and I'm a huge Pixar fan. I definitely am already looking forward to going to see it again. I might actually even go this weekend and take Judy. So it was just a lot of fun to see. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing, you know, at theaters, but then also owning it. You know, last few Pixar movies I've actually passed on even, you know, owning on Blu-ray. But this is definitely one I'm going to pretty much be sure to get. It's that good.
Outstanding. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you for the advice on that one.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
So I, at least this way I could wait another 7.5 years to take any more advice from him. So yeah, it's good. So
I've used up my allotment.
Exactly. So it's good. So speaking of being good and talking to you guys, we're going to be back again next week and we are going to be back with the ESO book club. That's right, folks. We are going to be looking at the book Replay by Ken Grimwood. It is an awesome book. We all got together and read it and we're going to talk about it next week on the show. And you could definitely pick that up through Amazon and, you know, or use bookstore, you know, any way to get a hold of it. It is an awesome book, has influences from a lot of different areas. If you're anywhere familiar from Atlanta, you'll get a kick out of it. If you're not even from Atlanta, though, you'll have a great time. It's, you know, a neat concept for a story, and it's going to be just a lot of fun to talk about. So, you know, it should be interesting to do. Of course, we want to hear from you guys at home. Please write us esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. We always like hearing, you know, from you guys. And if you guys have suggestions of books you want us to read for the book club or topics you want us to talk about for the science section, you know, please feel free, write us. And, you know, we'll definitely discuss it up on the air. We definitely want to hear from you guys. Of course, you know, we couldn't do this without you guys at home. If you want to subscribe to the show, we're up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Talk, iHeartRadio, a couple other places, you know, wherever good podcasts are found and even some bad podcasts are found. We're up there too. So look up Earth Station One. And while you're doing that, please give us a rating. We would really appreciate it. Ratings, feedback, that's how we know people are listening. We definitely would love to. We get our numbers, but we definitely want to know who is listening and, you know, what you have to say about us. If you want, of course, help to support the station by going to the Amazon tab on the ESO podcast website. And it's right there at the top. And if you go up there, you could also find the TeePublic link. Right there, you can own an ESO t-shirt. click there, you have an Earth Station 1 t-shirt. You have an Earth Station Who. You have a Transmissions from Atlantis. You have Nerd Bliss. You have all these different podcasts from the network have their logos, t-shirts up there. We have designs up there by Mary Ogle. We have, you know, just ESO Network logos. We have all different kinds of t-shirts, and they're on sale right now. That's right, folks. They are all on sale for $14. That's not too shabby for a t-shirt. And, you know, like, again, like Amazon, doesn't cost you anything extra. If you shop there, you help support the station. So with the holidays here, we make great gifts. And wouldn't you want to see me and Mike on it on your chest? Let me rephrase that.
Whoa. See, in this environment, man, you're just asking for trouble.
Exactly. So, you know, we're talking about cloth. We're not talking about us personally. No way. We wouldn't do that. We respect people out there. And with respect that way, I'm ending the show right now before I get into too much trouble. My name is Mike Faber. It has always been my pleasure to talk to you. Hope you guys have a great holiday season, and we will see you next week here on the Earth Station One podcast. Peace. And we're done.
I'll stand. Awesome. Very good.
You've been listening to Earth Station One, a weekly podcast that explores the many worlds of all things geek. Please write us at esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. And if we find what you say interesting, we'll put it up on the air. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate us or leave feedback for us up on iTunes. And while you're there, subscribe to our show or any of the ESO Network podcasts. We can also be found up on Stitcher Radio or wherever fine podcasts are found. ESO is also available up on most social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and so many more. To learn more about ESO, our website is esopodcast.com. The show is produced by Calico Productions. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you here next time on the Earth Station One podcast. Peace.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.